Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What should we do with fallen pastors? This is Wretched Radio, courtesy of one Clint Archer, writing for the Cripplegate, who apparently has been on some sort of sabbatical for a bit. They have not been writing as much as they used to. Fix that, Cripplegate. We like your stuff. Cripplegate.com. It is a number of theologians who write, including Clint Archer, who currently is the pastor of a church whose name I can't remember, in Mobile, Alabama. What's the name of Clint Archer's church, Jimmy?
Christ Fellowship Baptist.
That's too many words.
Too many words.
Yeah, I'll have to get a hold of it. He needs to. I think a church, the name should be limited to just two descriptors. Otherwise, it's too much. We can't remember that much these days. Christ Fellowship
Baptist.
Baptist.
That's it.
And it's church, or is it like fellowship?
Yeah. No, just Christ Fellowship Baptist Church. Yeah.
Christ Fellowship Baptist Church.
Yes.
Yeah, because having two fellowships would be bad. Christ Fellowship Baptist Fellowship Church.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, but I don't think you want three words anyway. The point is, Clint Archer is pastoring there. And maybe, if you can remember the name of the church, it rings a bell, because that is the former church of Steve Lawson. Clint Archer is now pastoring that church, and he is engaged on the subject specifically of Steve Lawson. Perhaps he's written more. The first article I saw was maybe a week ago. His heart was heavy, and his thinking was it would be really helpful if Steve Lawson would make a public statement. That was, I think, the first article. Well, now he's engaged again, because there was a headline somewhere out there on the internet. He doesn't mention where. The headline read this on a Christian website: Steve Lawson is attending Nashville church where pastor believes the famous expositor can be restored. Bum, bum, bum. Can a fallen pastor be restored? And Clint Archer engaging on the subject, because I think he just plain cares, does a fine job of helping us to ask the question, well, what do you mean restored? So my question to you is this. Let's just say, forget Steve Lawson for a moment. How's about this? The pastor of your church takes a tumble and is disqualified, but he stays there. What do you do with him? What does his life look like inside of the church? That's a question that we normally don't ask, because I don't think we feel the need to ask. But when it's a pastor, and I think I would be willing to agree with this, it's a little different, because the guy held an office. So let's just say your pastor took a tumble, repents, stays in the church, having stepped away from the pulpit and all of his elder responsibilities. What does the guy get to do? Anything? You'd say, well, you can go to church. Fair enough. Can he volunteer? For what? Kitchen? Maintenance? Teaching? Wait, whoa. Well, that's why this is, I think, a worthwhile subject for us to consider. What do we do with individuals? Let's just say there's somebody in your church, they were put on church discipline. They repent. What do you do with them? I think it's a question well worth asking and answering. And Clint Archer from the Baptist Fellowship of the Covenant Union of Mobile, Alabama. I think I got that title right. I think he's going to help us. Question number one: can a fallen pastor be restored to the Lord? I think we'd all answer, absolutely. He repents. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all of our sin. That person most certainly is in relationship with Jesus Christ. Question number two: can a fallen pastor be restored, meaning to the local church? can they retain their membership? I think so. Why couldn't they? They should be able to. This is what church discipline is about. You win them back. They're not kicked out. They remain in because they've repented of their sin. Now, I know some of these sins are very public and they're pretty dramatic. But nevertheless, the Christian testimony is no matter how much mess you got, Jesus Christ cleans it all up. Because as bad of a sinner you are, he's a greater grace provider because of his character and his nature. That's what we shout from the rooftops. And wouldn't that apply to an individual who fell and returned? So, attending services? What about taking the Lord's table? I think I'd have to ask the question, why wouldn't they be able to? What verse would indicate they can't? And what about serving? This is what Clint Archer asks. What's the capacity in which somebody who has fallen can serve? Specifically, our context would be a fallen pastor. Stacking chairs? Running the sound desk? I think we'd all go, yeah. In fact, I would say they should, because there isn't a Christian, no matter what the history is, there isn't a Christian who should not be participating in the life of the church somehow. And if you're not, by the way, this would be an encouragement for you to do so. What's your gift? Or if you struggle with figuring that out and how to apply it in the context of your local church, what's your carp? And I'm not talking about a not very pleasant fish to eat, even though it comes from the land of sky blue waters. Carp. Ooh, they're typically river. No, carp can be in lakes, though, too. They tend, though, I keep thinking, when I think carp, I think Mississippi River. They're big fish, and fish that come out of the Mississippi River. To each their own, but I digress. If you've got a complaint in your church, aka carp, there's your ministry right there. Get on that. Whatever bugs you, consider that your calling. Because if you've identified it, that could be God's way of saying, I have an opportunity for you to plug into your church. Everybody should be plugged in, including you and those who have fallen and been restored. The question, of course, is, well, to what level? Can they occupy any sort of a teaching role? Now, this might be surprising from a guy like Clint Archer at Cripplegate, of all places. Can a fallen pastor ever be restored to the office of pastor or a teaching role in the church? The answer would depend on which qualification they have lost and if that qualification could be regained with time. Now, there are some people who would say if a pastor falls for any reason, that is permanent disqualification. Clint Archer, I think, makes a pretty compelling case that is, while it's probably not the rule, that there can be some exceptions to permanent disqualification. For example, see if he persuades you. A pastor got drunk on wine a few times. Pastor getting drunk on wine. So that couldn't be a Lutheran pastor. That would be beer. Sorry, I just got distracted. The pastor gets drunk a few times, confesses it, repents, steps down from ministry, becomes a teetotaler. Could there be at some point in the future their reputation as not given to much wine could be restored? How much time would that take? There's not a verse that indicates how many weeks, months, or years that might be. But maybe it's long enough to regain the trust of the congregation. Here's another example. What if the man's children are out of control? If he stepped down from office of overseer, took care of his family, and everybody saw a noticeable reversal in his kids' rebellion. The kids get saved and baptized. And over time, the congregation realizes, hey, those are good kids. Could that be a scenario in which the man returns to his former ministry role? And here's then what Clint Archer says. There's no hard and fast rules. Each local church and elders would need to make that type of call. In other words, it's tricky. It's hard. Granted. However, some scenarios would make it impossible for a fallen pastor to ever regain the trust of a church. And he cites, for instance, a sexual sin. That he can't get back in the pulpit and then preach on any text that happens to do with any sort of pornia, any sort of fornication, any sort of looking with lust, he would have no credibility in that area. Therefore, no restoration for that. There are plenty of ministry opportunities in churches that don't require that level of trust. Locking up after the services, taking care of the bookstore, visiting the elderly to assist with yard work. But for some, in some instances, being restored in any sort of capacity to a leadership role, it's impossible. It just doesn't go away. Because the man who serves in that office must be above reproach. No accusations that could be brought that are credible that would undermine the authority of the office and the proclamation that he makes when he preaches God's word. All that to say, what do we do with those who stumble and fall? Let's concede it can be tricky. Let's perhaps also agree there are sometimes, for some pastors, they fall so hard that although they are restored to the church, although they can serve in some capacity, should serve in some capacity, that there would be particular aspects of church life that they are simply disqualified from. That's interesting table talk, isn't it? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, for 25 years, God has used this ministry to preach the gospel and strengthen local churches, and we're just getting started. Join us in celebrating this milestone as we launch exciting new content, including The Better Way with Libby Glosson. It's unlike any other podcast for women. Libby tackles real issues like biblical boundaries, emotional modesty, and building a higher view of God rather than self. Don't miss her upcoming webinar with Martha Peace on February 13th, where they're going to share biblical wisdom for creating a joy-filled marriage. As we look forward to the next 25 years of serving our King, your partnership is what makes it all possible for us to continue equipping the saints and fortifying churches. Will you stand with us? Every gift helps us create more resources like Libby's podcast and exclusive webinars. Just visit FortisInstitute.org to learn how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner today. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening his church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
You know that awkward moment when your theology starts to collide with real life? You know, when you're quoting Romans in your head while you're losing it in traffic. Yeah, we've all been there. And that's why we created Integrated with Dr. John Krotz. It's one of the brand new productions of Fortis Institute that helps you take biblical truths, the ones that are stuck in your head, and actually help you to live them out. Download the Fortis Plus app and get instant access to hundreds of hours of content that'll help you stand firm when the culture is trying to knock you over. Just visit FortisInstitute.org.
names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a word, probably a lot of them, a word from Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. Clint Archer, he's pastoring where Steve Lawson used to pastor, writing about fallen pastors. What do we do with them? Certainly, they can be welcomed into the local church. But what about the life of the local church? At what level can they participate? And I think we have to admit, it gets really tricky. I mean, can we concede that? Can we come up with some conclusions and simultaneously recognize, all right, this is a little tricky. Do they get to teach Sunday school? It's not elder rule, but it's teaching Sunday school. Well, there's some people who would say, actually, the teaching of Sunday school is an elder job. Okay, so right out of the gate, we've got different Christians who are going to have different opinions on this subject. And for your consideration, we now present the opinion of Jimmy. What say you about Clint Archer? He said, yeah, they can be restored and they can actually go back into pastoral ministry depending on what the disqualifying sin is.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think he's right, obviously, depending on what it is. I think what we do sometimes is we put so much thought into our idolatry of watching a public figure like what he's discussing and talking about. And we think their punishment should mask our idolatry, if that makes sense.
Wow. Well, that sure was Gnostic. So we're all idolators. Was that the backhanded slap?
I'm not saying we're all idolaters, but...
Well, I wonder, though, maybe what I was hearing from you, I don't know if you intended to say this, but that we think, hey, that was such a big nasty that there's got to be ongoing punishment.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I think actually Clint Archer, even in his article, he recognizes, hey, there's also going to be some wisdom here. Let's just say, for instance, a guy was embezzling from a company. Would you put him in charge of the treasury at the church? Probably not a good idea. But the line we don't want to cross is wisdom is one thing, punishment is another. And if we punish somebody for their sins, which have been forgiven by Jesus, I think we're making a bit of a dog's breakfast out of the gospel itself. They're either forgiven or they're not. Consequences? Yes, that would fall on the side of wisdom. But we never want to punish somebody for their sins. That would be antithetical to the core of our faith as Christians. So nobody should be punished for that, for what they did. But that simultaneously, that doesn't mean that they have full access to every single serving opportunity in the church. Could a fallen pastor be an usher? Huh? I actually would understand both sides of the argument. I really would. Well, that's participating in the service of the church. And somebody would argue, but that's not serving in the role of elder. So they're not being restored to their former office. These things do get tricky. So I think maybe these two components, wisdom, in other words, there can be some consequences for sin. And I think the truly repentant one who's being restored to the church with rules should happily accept that. You're right, and I deserve anything that I get because of my foolishness. But we should never punish somebody for their sins. So, Jimmy, fallen pastor, would you let him teach Sunday school?
It depends, again, on what the sin was.
What about Archer's point that authority is lost when it comes to particular subjects? Why would the pulpit be different than the Sunday school classroom?
Maybe it's not
teaching, but it's the authority that comes with being in the pulpit. But when you stand up in front of a classroom, that is an authoritative position. Would that be violating the elder qualification? These things I think are tricky. I think when it comes to teaching, though, I think that's getting closer to the, I don't think that's a great idea because of the confusion that it can cause. You could, let's just say that you could make the case. You could argue, yeah, a fallen pastor who preaches and teached, or at least preached, past tense, and taught well, they could do it again in the classroom. Let's say that you're able to make that case. I don't think that I would, but nevertheless, you can. I would still ask about the wisdom. Is it going to cause confusion? Because if it's going to make somebody just kind of go, ah, I don't get what's going on here. I thought the guy, and now he's up there, and am I supposed to? And what if I think that he's wrong? Is he right on? If it causes confusion, then I say we don't, because we want to be concerned about stumbling blocks. We don't want anybody to trip up over something that perhaps you could. It's Christian liberty issue, I guess, is where this would fall, wouldn't it? Yeah, let's just say you believe you have the right, but that doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. Long as we're talking about fallen pastors from Clearly Reformed, Sin Makes You Stupid. The author is pondering, why are we seeing so many pastors that are falling? He contends one of the reasons would be access to information. That there's so much of it. You can travel easier. Communication easier, privacy easier, being ensnared in the vice of pornography, never been easier, encountering sexual images and content, never easier. Now, those might be the tools that the devil uses, but the reality is the sin is residing in the heart, which is why these 10 tests, these 10 areas of your life. Forget the pastor at the moment, unless, of course, you're a pastor, then don't forget yourself. But this goes for all of us. If you don't want to take a tumble, I think these words from Clearly Reformed will be helpful. Number one, consider if you are faithful in private and personal devotions. Now, remember, this applies to more than just pastors, but the author writes, I've never known a pastor in habitual sin who is at the same time fervent in daily prayer. Get on it. Get on your prayer life. Learn how to do it. That book, Praying the Scriptures, we have it in the Wretched Store if you want it. But get it to help you be a better prayer. Because if you're not a dedicated prayer, and that can look different for everybody, but if you're at least not trying and progressing in that regard, you're simply vulnerable. So there's, you are vulnerable. Number two. Consider if you are more eager to be away from home than to arrive back at home. That's a great question, isn't it? Search your own heart on this. Do you like leaving your house more than returning? You're in danger, Will Robinson. You are in danger. Your family should be the place where it's like, yes, my cup is full right here underneath this roof. Number three, consider if you have slid into a posture of defensiveness and entitlement. In other words, do you have pride? You're vulnerable, pastor or otherwise. Number four, consider if there are relationships with women, or men if you happen to be a woman, that are overly friendly and overly comfortable. I'm waiting for you to kind of run through the Rolodex of your life. Is that true for you? Got to be so careful. It doesn't mean... I was going to say, it doesn't mean you stiff arm somebody of the opposite gender, but it made me think of a guy whose name I'm not going to mention because it's Al Mohler. I was with him at I don't know where we were. It was on the second floor of a big building, and a woman approached him, and she was dressed probably less than standard church fare to give him a hug. And he did put his arm out and stop her because he knows that can cause problems if a picture is taken of that. You got to make sure that you don't have any relationship with somebody the opposite gender that's getting a little too chummy. That if you change the way you treat somebody of the opposite sex when your spouse enters the room, you're probably in danger already. Number five. Consider if you are no longer vigilant in fighting lust and temptation. Here's a scary line. Perhaps big sins almost always begin as little compromises. Here they are: lingering looks, raunchy entertainment, lurid rabbit trails on social media, YouTube videos that get seedier and seedier. You justify little sins, and then courtesy of Satan and the algorithm, you're committing big sins. 6, consider if you're lacking meaningful, open, transparent friendships. Consider how much your sins will cost you when they are discovered. Consider how much harm they will do to others by your sin. Consider there are greater, sweeter, and more lasting pleasures than sin. Here they are: a clean conscience, a long marriage, faithfulness of hard work, the smile of grandchildren, the laughter of friends. Those are better things than sin. And finally, consider the honor and glory of Christ. Take inventory so that you can take heed, lest you too might fall. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.